Good to be with you again tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and the hospitality of the church and the next door and the supper tonight. And I'm not supposed to thank you for your support, but thank you anyway. All these years. It's a blessing to. I appreciate what the pastor has been saying in his little dissertations between songs and during songs and whatever. But I thought about working. One of the things that the Islanders always condemn me for is working after sunset. When the sun goes down, you have to stop working. They always say, because if you're pounding, I can remember when I was finishing the roof of my house, and so I just wanted to get the last few pieces on, and they said, you can't hammer after sunset. Why is that? Because someone will die. Because the sound of pounding is the sound of making a coffin. So if you pound after sunset, then someone will die. So, of course, they had a lot of things. If it's raining, they say you've got to stop working. You know, you can't work in the rain. And if it's sunlight, no, stop it. It's gonna rain. And it didn't really matter what you were doing. They're not really into work in that way. They do a lot of sitting around. We are in backwoods places. Even the fact you mentioned it's dark outside. We say midnight. Maybe you're not like our family, but midnight does not mean the middle of the night. It means the beginning of the night. That's usually when we go to bed, somewhere around midnight. And so, but midnight means what? Middle of the night, which means like 8 o'clock at night and 4 o'clock in the morning, when people went to bed with the sun and rose with the sun, or before the case would be as in Jesus would have done. And, it's different in our islands. Their nighttime is dark. They're just when the sun goes down, it's dark. People kind of go home. They're there mostly, or they're out doing things in the dark they're not supposed to be doing, which they do a lot. But it's a different place. It actually taught us a lot of Bible contexts of being there. I've never often wondered when you hear of Christ and the disciples sitting somewhere, and John was leaning on Christ's breast, it says, or his bosom. Like, what kind of thing is that? You know, when do men lean on? But out in the jungle, we'll be having a service afterwards, and we're just kind of, after we eat, we just kind of lie around and rest. We're all on a big open floor where they sleep. And while we're waiting for the ladies to bring a plate of food, we're just kind of all stacked on each other. One guy's leaning on the guy's back, one guy's leaning on another guy's leg, and we're just all just there talking and lying down. We don't have chairs or tables. We're just lying or sitting on the floor, leaning on the elbow, eating with our fingers. And it reminded me a lot of how it would have been during Jesus' time when he's dipping in the bowl with me. You know, we're like, hey, we're dipping in the same bowl with me. What do you mean? Dipping his bread in there, sharing a bowl. Yeah, I remember we used to have medical teams that would come over there every year in the summertime, college medical teams, they would have a hard time sometimes with the way things were. We'd take them out to various villages and have medical clinics in the villages. And one time we were at this one of our favorite villages, and the chief had prepared, the people had prepared this big meal, and they gave out these bowls of soup to everybody. Well, one of the nurses, she kind of was signaling to me, and she said, look at, you know, signal, and here was a fly swimming around in their soup. And so she was trying to say what should she do, and the chief saw her, so he walked over, took his fingers, reached in her soup, grabbed the fly out, threw the fly down, and said, now eat, you know, like this. And she's like, ah. But it's interesting. Some of the kids, it was kind of difficult because they'd make faces at the food. People would bring out their best, and that was pretty stinky. If you know what I mean. Pretty howly, right? I'm going to change the message from us. Instead of how do you stink, is don't be a howly. That's going to be my new title for that message if I preach it again sometime. Howly being that American abroad. There's actually a book that's written many years ago called The Ugly American. It was all about that whole idea that our attitude and how we express ourselves and so on overseas and what people think of us. Not because we're American so much, it's because of our attitude toward them. But they were having a hard time with that, and the chief or people, they say, they don't like our food, do they? And I said, well, oh, they're not used to it. Or it's like, guys, please don't turn up your face at things. We have always eaten what is set before us. I don't drink anything knowingly alcoholic or drug, whatever. I was talking to some kids down in Greenville the other day, and they went to this new place. It's called the Kava Bar. Well, they just thought it was this new herbal kind of tea, whatever. It's supposed to be this herbal, like a Starbucks or something. And they said they started drinking this stuff, and it made their mouth numb. I said, that's Kava. That's the drug of the South Pacific that was used to worship the Great Spirit. Everybody drank this stuff, and they kind of went into a stupor. And I said, that's not a tea-like beverage used in the South Pacific. That's a pagan, ritualistic drug that's still used every day. It's used in this town right here. I'm sure most nights when the islanders get together, they pound the roots of a plant and drink it. They get the powder here. But they're drug-addicted, pagan-worshipping people. And what a blessing it is to bring them the light. And we don't work. We had a clinic. My oldest daughter is now a nurse, but she was my nurse all growing up from the time she was like 12 years old. We'd get call after, I hated calls at nighttime because I knew something was bad. And we'd grab a couple battery lights and stomp out through the jungle and not knowing exactly what we would find. There's no ambulance, there's no EMTs. I'm the EMT, so I was the ambulance driver too. My Suburban was, if people heard me flying to town at nighttime, they knew I was taking somebody to the hospital. But we did so many things helping people. It kind of, work is not easy. Work is hard. But if we allow God to use us, like for us tonight to think about God using us, we often have the idea that, well, some people would say, well, I know why God used me because I'm talented or I am smart or I am good with my hands or. And frankly, I've kind of questioned because I am good with my hands. I can build just about anything, fix just about anything. I'm pretty smart. Not bragging. I'm just saying I've had the opportunity to go to school quite a bit. And I sometimes say, well, maybe God can't use me because I have talents. But I'm so grateful that God uses us as where He wants us to be. I grew up when I was a small boy. I went back and saw my dad's first church. Back in central Pennsylvania, not too long, just a couple weeks ago, it's still there. It's Old Stone Church, and we lived on a 240-acre farm. My dad got from the church $8 a week, and needless to say, we didn't eat too much from the store in those days. A lot of deer off the farm. We had our own animals and eggs and milk, and something that was store-bought was quite rare in our house that God always provided. But it gave me an opportunity. I grew up using kerosene lamps. And an ice box with ice block inside. Not ice box for electrical ice box, but an outhouse. So living in the jungle has been no problem, except it's never cold in the jungle, if you know what I mean. And if you live, when you use an outhouse as a kid, maybe, in the wintertime, it's very cold there. And so it's never that cold in the outhouse in the jungle. So it's kind of great. But all of those things, and my dad, as I mentioned tonight, that taught us to, we can do it. Don't say you can't. So many of the things that we come across, I've never done this before. It's okay. We can do this. We built our own houses. We fixed our own cars. We welded anything that breaks. We just do whatever we have to do. And it's all God used us and our experiences and our abilities to do His work. Not everybody can be where we are, or we wouldn't want to be necessarily where everybody else is. We're not really city folks. We're kind of country folks, like living out in the boonies, and that's just kind of our thing, and we do well there. We love it. We love kind of being self-sufficient, being out in the jungle, having our own bananas growing everywhere, we had 55-gallon drums of diesel fuel and kerosene and gasoline sitting out behind our house for to run the vehicles, and we had generators. I had a flashlight in the pulpit of our church. We'd often lose power, and if the power went off, I'd just grab the flashlight, run down to the garage real quick, fire up the generator, and we'd continue having church. There was one time when we were the only, it was Christmas time, and all the power was out everywhere except in our church. We had light, and I thought, that's pretty appropriate. We had the light at Christmas time, but the point is, but I want us to think about tonight is, if you turn with the Bibles to Exodus chapter 4, I don't often jump off of a verse. I'm not used that way, but I want us to look at a verse tonight and kind of look at some verses relative to it, because there's a little phrase in this passage that I want us to see. Because in the context, you know, Moses was being asked by God to do a lot of things. And when he first started talking to God, he was pretty much saying, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. In other words, God gave him a mission, right? God sent him on a mission, go down to Egypt and free my people, which is kind of what our mission is too, is it not? We're to go into the world and free people from the bondage of their king, their Pharaoh, which in our case here would be Satan, who's keeping them bound in the prison house of sin with none to tell them of the Savior's dying. That's our job. Our job is kind of like Moses on his mission, to go and bring people into light and give them the truth of God and turn them loose from the bondage of sin. So God was talking to Moses in Exodus chapter 4. And Moses was complaining, and we know the story. He tried to get Aaron to come and do it, and he said, I can't do this. And we get down to let's just read the first couple of verses here. And Moses answered and said, behold, this is Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Sounds like a missionary. Lord, what am I going to do? They're not going to believe me. These people don't believe me. How am I going to go to somebody who's a pagan and say, let me tell you what the truth is? They've had the truth. They believe they have the truth. And so how are they going to believe me? Well, he was saying that about Pharaoh. Verse 2, and the Lord said to him, what's in thine hand? And he said, a rod, a stick. He said, cast it down on the ground. He cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And verse 4. And it became a serpent, and Moses fled before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take up by the tail. Put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Lord, help us, we pray, though we may just be sticks. May we be used by your hand to do your work. Help us to let you use our lives, not to be disputing, as in the case of Moses here, others. Help us to do what you'd have us to do. Let you use us. We may just be a stick, nothing to us, but in your hands, we can be something great and do something great for you. Help us to find our place and allow you to throw us down if it need be. Pick us up. If it need be, whatever the case would be, that whatever you would want to do with this stick, may you use us to reach the world for Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Missions is what? God's people following God's plan in the power of God's Spirit, God's power, and with God's provision to reach the world. Here's a man who God said, I want you to do something for me. Moses was very upset about it. He was complaining about it. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. And Moses said to him simply, God said to Moses, what do you have in your hand? Moses always carried a stick. I mean, you walking stick. It's not a polished golden rod or something. It's just a stick. A stick could be for beating on kids. It could be for ruling. It could be a lance, a staff that way. It could be a walking stick. It's just a stick. In this case, we know Moses was out in the desert as a shepherd. He used it to fight off the animals. He used it to walk among the rocks. He used it to rescue his lambs, no doubt. But it was just a stick. It wasn't anything particularly important or rich. But God said, throw it down. At least he obeyed that much. He threw it down and it became a serpent. He said, pick it up by its tail. Whoa, Lord, I'm scared of snakes. Well, it's just a stick, right? But all of a sudden it became a snake. He picked it up by the tail. And it became a stick again. I thought about this some time ago. I thought about this statement. It's not the power in the stick. It's just an ordinary stick. But it's the power of the one holding the stick. We're to do our work in God's power, right? How do we do this? How do we say, well, I want to show you something. I want to go off to the South Pacific and I want to tell you people about God. I want to tell you people about truth. And they're going to say, who are you? You're just a stick. But in God's hands, he can say, hey, I'll show something with this stick. First place we see him using the stick, when he went to Pharaoh, verse 5, that they may believe, Exodus 4:3-5, it says, they may believe the Lord God of their fathers, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that hath appeared to thee. He went to Pharaoh, you know the story, they went into Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, who are you to come here telling us what are you going to do? A lot of places where missionaries go, they have the same attitude. Who are you to come here? What are you doing in my village? Why are you here? We had a lot of difficulty with the two primary churches in our island were the Protestant church, Congregational church, and the Catholic church. And they were saying, we already have two churches here. We don't need another one. You don't need to come here. They were not excited about our being there. They were quite antagonistic toward us. They were very, they threw rocks at our church. One man threatened to kill me. But it's interesting how sometime after a series of people began to die. I didn't put it together until one day. One guy, Eakin Sinneris, trying to disrupt our ministry, he dropped dead of a heart attack. Another man trying to disrupt us, he died in the shower. Another man just dropped dead one day. He said, I'm going to come back to church. I said, don't keep lying to me. Don't keep lying to me. No, I'm coming back. He'd come to church, and right away he got saved. You know, this the name of this land right here, he said, is Tierrak, which means I found it. I just want to testify that tonight I found Jesus Christ as my Savior. And we're all in tears listening to this testimony. And then he says, now what can I do to be one of the pastors here, he said. And like some of the folks in the Bible. And he turned away to find some place where he could be more popular. And I'm coming back. Don't keep lying to me. Thursday he was at my place and I'm coming back. I said, please don't lie to me anymore. You've told me, no, I'm going to be there Sunday. I went to his funeral on Saturday. He laid down and died. He was just feeling bad. He died. And this guy, one of the guys coming back from church one day, he was walking back from the Catholic church. They had to walk by our church. And he said to the boys there, I'm going to go home, get my gun, come back and shoot that missionary. His wife and he were in town. And I had done work for this guy. He worked for the water department. I helped him with things. I've cut things and ground things and polished things and tried to be help to him. And one day he was in town, and somebody went over, knocked on the door of his car. His wife was parked there and said, "Isn't that your husband lying on the street right there?" He got hit by a car and died. As far as I know, lost, but he had the opportunity. The stick presents God's power. You know, God's power is so important to our work. We just can't go off. I mean, do you just go up and listen to anybody that comes and talks to you? Somebody starts telling you something very important. Right away you want to say what? Well, who are you and how do you know this? Okay, I often, you know, I don't like to use my wife's name, but I'll use somebody else's. They'll say, hey, did you read this on Facebook? I say, you think that's true? Oh, it's on Facebook. I said, how many people did you tell? Well, if you told a few people, I don't think that's true. Yeah, but it's on the internet. Okay, well, my skepticism is justified, if you know what I mean, because so much stuff, it's just not true. It's just, their stuff looks so real, and if we're thoughtful, we want to say, okay, what's the source? Where did this come from? And people are going to say to us, hey, who are you, and why are you here to tell me this? He came to Pharaoh. He walked into Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, who are you? Who's God? And he threw a snake down, a serpent down, became a snake. And it was used, he used his staff every time he was somebody. Everywhere he was with somebody, he had his staff. And God used his staff in many ways. But I want to think about tonight is how we can be a staff in God's hand. Wherever, whenever, however, just to say, Lord, use me. I'm just a stick. I'm just a stick. I remember saying one time to a pastor, I'm just a missionary. There was a church split, half the people that used to support us were at one church, half the church were another church, and each pastor wanted me to separate from the other church because of the split, and they were trying to pull me. I said, I'm just a missionary. It's not my church split, I'm just a missionary. Well, if you don't agree with us, then I'll hold my word. But I'm just a stick, right? But God, you can use me. Here, he went into Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at that time. And it was just a stick, but God used that stick. I think about when the islands have a lot of superstitions. Very superstitious about a lot of things. About carrying the baby at nighttime. You can't carry a baby outside at night because a spirit will come and take it away from you. You husbands and wives can't walk together. They have to walk. Husband, I got to walk in the front and carry his machete. And the ladies have to walk behind with the kids. And just a lot of things they superstitious wise. And interesting, they would say, well, you guys, even when we lived in South America, they said, well, these taboos don't apply to you because you're an American. That's why they work for us, but they wouldn't work for you. And so things wouldn't happen. They said, you're going to die, you're going to get sick or whatever. And then it didn't happen. They said, well, that's because you're white. But you know what a blessing it was? We found out afterwards that our young people that grew up in the church started following. Not that we're against taboos and so on, but certain things are very pagan and we are against those. And they did not follow those things. And now the young people who grew up in our church, raising their children the right kind of way, they said, oh, you mean it doesn't work. they're islanders. They grew up here. They lived here. But because of Christ and just being a stick to show God's power over Satan, what a blessing it is. There are times when we're faced with obstacles and say, God, please don't. I remember one time I said, you're going to die because you did this. I was like, no, God, don't let me get sick right now because it's a bad time to get sick or die because it'll show you, you know, your mercy's got to come through here. In Exodus chapter 3, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, it came to where once again the stick was used. This stick promoted God's purposes, Exodus 15 and 17. And thou shalt speak unto him, Aaron. He shall be with thy mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and his mouth, and will teach you what you should do, and so on. And then he got down to the end. He said, thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherever thou shalt do signs. So here's Moses and Aaron. They're going to go back. They're going to demonstrate God's power. And I think about how important it is to stand up for Christ. This stick was you. It was just became kind of a symbol. Wherever this stick is, that's where God is. And I would love to think that in my life, wherever this stick is, that's where God is. Where this stick is, God's going to use him to do something. And you know, it's not only, I think about Kais Miguel. Kais Miguel is a pastor. He's a Protestant pastor, Congregational Church, in the village of Pius. He came to Hawaii because he had a botched surgery in Pohnpei. And he ended up being in Hawaii for about a year. While he was there, first we had services every Wednesday and Sunday at the place where they stay. So we have church there for them. And initially I would preach and he would kind of grit his teeth because he's a Protestant who believes in works salvation, not by faith. And he would try to say, well, yeah, but you know, you got to have you. Well, as time went along, the Lord worked in his heart, the Lord opened his heart, and he accepted Christ. And we shared a lot. We spent about a year together. And whenever I went to see him in September back in 14, back in Pohnpei, he said to me, you know, when my wife and I came back from Hawaii to being with you, he said, we decided we're going to leave the Protestant church and join the Baptist church. He's a pastor of a church. And while we were there, we spent a lot of time talking about church polity and biblical things, and really gave us an opportunity to share a lot of things with someone who didn't grow up a Baptist. He got saved as a Protestant pastor and wanting to do right. And I thought about just being a stick in the right place at the right time. That God would use a stick. Like in my case, it was I who was the stick to say, be there to help someone else, to help leaders, to help other leaders come to Christ and to follow Christ. What opportunities for us just to be used by God. There's a song that I like. I often wanted that we'd sing it as a family, but to be used of God. Yes. That God would use me. Pastor was talking about time, work of the night. I'm 57. I will say I've always always been conscious about time, redeeming the time, but I think now I'm 12 and some years from 70 years old. I don't feel old now, but I think, well, at what point will you feel old? I keep asking that question. I know folks that are 70s, I don't feel old. But, you know, we think, well, 70, 80, that's getting pretty old. And how many more years do we have? And I don't climb up 40-foot ladders anymore like I used to. Jump around on and off of roofs. And what? Something about life has changed a little bit. You know, I used to run up and down a 40-foot ladder with 8-foot sheet of plywood over my head and nail it up and hold it and nail it up into the eaves of a house. Oh, I couldn't imagine even thinking of doing that now. I can barely get off a stepladder onto the porch roof because something about our life, it seems like it becomes more valuable. We realize, wait a minute, how many years do I have to serve God? And I want my life to count. Not that I'm trying to be something, but if I'm speaking tonight, I often joke, I don't chew bubble gum. You know why? If I flap my jaws, it's going to be, I'm going to say something or I'm going to eat. I'm not going to flap my jaws for nothing. Okay, so nothing about you chewing bubble gum. But to me, I just, if I want to do something, I want to do it for a reason. I don't just waste my time doing nothing for no reason. I have an issue with all telling my kids, don't sit around playing video games. Don't waste your time. There's something profitable to do. If you want to watch TV, there's tons of cool things that you can learn and educate just to waste. And let's utilize our time, redeeming our time, because why, the days are evil. I want God to use this old stick. Right, I want him to use me as much as I can be used. We're looking at island, working with islanders now. It would be easy just to go back to one small island again, stay there for another one island for another 8 years, just be there, be comfortable. We get our work done. We'd have to explain what we're doing. Just we're on a little island, but God's opened up a larger area for us to minister with young people in many different islands and try to establish churches in more a broader area. And we're trying to do that while we have the time to utilize our time for God and work with folks like Caius and others who are there. And then verse 15, there was a time when they came to the king. The king said they could leave. People were running out, leaving in a big hurry with all their unleavened bread. Remember in the troughs, the kneading troughs, they had all their bread still in there, and they run out and let's go this way. Got to the edge of the ocean, the Red Sea, and there they were. And they heard Pharaoh coming behind. Maybe saw the dust. And they started crying, Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. What are we going to do? Moses went to God and started crying to God, and Moses said, don't come in here crying to me. Get out that stick. Hold it over the Red Sea. What happened in the Red Sea? You know, again, to be used by God. Who am I that a king should bleed and die for? Who am I that I should say, not my will, but thine be done, Lord? The answer, I shall never know why you should ever love me so. Who is the question? Who am I? Who am I that God should use me as a stick to do his work? Who am I that God let us go off to the South Pacific and lead hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to Christ? What a blessing it is. It's not a matter of saying, well, it's because I'm a perfectly straight oak, white oak with nice grain. No, just a stick. And God chooses to use us. And here God says to Moses, don't come in here complaining, just go off. I told you I'm going to be with you. I told you I'm going to guide you. Hold that stick out over the ocean and see what happens. And all of a sudden, a way was made clear for the people to pass. You know, there's a way. There's a way through the Red Sea that we can cause to have people. We can give to people all the time. We say, Lord, use me to open up a way. To open up your blessings to people. We God uses us to bring his blessings to people, to bring his blessings of salvation, to bring his blessings of life. We see our young people who island families are not very well. They're just not good. Okay, it takes a village to raise a family. So nobody's in charge. The children are very unruly. They run around. Little children. Once they learn to walk, the parents are really happy. Say, good, now I don't have to take care of my kids anymore. They run around naked and do whatever they do everywhere they want to do. That when they want to go eat, they just go in, grab a handful of rice out of the pot. And kids grow up very irresponsible, very disobedient. this very naughty, whatever. But you know, our young people that grew up in our church, and we saw several of them recently, and their children just delightful. And we never really spent time child disciplinary classes or whatever. But one of the girls said, Ruth said something about how well her children were behaving, and she said, "Well, we used to watch you guys. Watched your husband take Hannah into the office, and she'd come out in a little while with a smile on her face, and we knew what to do." And wow, to be a stick, to open up the way for God's people. Number four, it proved God's provision. The Israelites were out in the Egypt, out in the desert in Exodus chapter 17. You know the story, familiar. They were out in the desert crying, and we don't have any water. What are we going to do? What did God tell Moses to do? Get out that stick. Take that stick out there and demonstrate my provision for you. And he hit the rock and the water came out. By the way, I thought about this today. He used the same stick a second time. He had the power. He I got the power, you know. And he used the power in his own power the second time. He was not able to enter into the promised land because of that. God still gave the water the second time, but because it was in his own power. God help us so we don't use this stick. We see God use the old stick and say, "Well, that's pretty good. See how God used me? Let me go out here and see how it is." And we go out without God's power. And God can use us. But it's so much better if we just let him use us. I think about times when there was no medicine on the island. There was actually times when there was no medicine on the whole island of Pohnpei. And I had a small clinic. I bought my own medicine from a place in Michigan. And people were calling me, "Do you have such and such? The hospital in town, do you have such and such antibiotic?" And I said, "Yes, I do, but I'm not the recipient of millions of dollars from the USAID. And yeah, but we have no medicine. You've got to help us." And I was able to be helped to buy provision. Not just the word of God, but in so many different ways, we try to be a help to people. We've saved. It was quite a blessing. We were there in September again this last year, we left Pohnpei in 2002, hadn't been back until 2014 to visit, and people just came from all over saying, "Oh, thank you. You remember you saved my baby's life, or you saved us, or you, whatever. You brought us to Christ, and remember our family used to be so bad. Now look at them, how they are." And, praise the Lord. What a blessing to show God's provision when people are thirsty and dying with no water, so to speak, whether it's water or whatever, and to say, "God, just use me to bring water to these people." And God uses. And then lastly, remember when Moses was up on top of the hill and they were fighting the Amalek? And they had a battle, and every time Moses put his staff up in the air, what happened? Israelite was winning. But his arm was getting tired, so he'd start coming down. And guess what happened? The Israelites were losing. So Aaron and Hur got up there, and they propped up some rocks, and they held him up and held up the staff. And as long as they held up that staff, that the battle was won, and they ended up beating Amalek. And I thought about how it is with us. I'm sure that Joshua was down there in the bottom of the valley looking up. "Where's that staff? Still up? Okay, we're good." And looking up, going, "Yeah, okay, he's still up there. Let's go." It was, you know, you can just imagine what kind of an encouragement it was to them to see Moses up there holding up that staff. It wasn't the staff, was it? Was it really? Do you think that stick really made a difference? It was that God was using this thing, saying, "Okay, I am with you. Raise me up. I'm with you." And down those guys down the battlefield looking up there. "Come on, folks. Moses is still there holding the staff. Let's go. We're going to win. And I think about Wences. Wences was he's a young man. He was probably 30 when we met him in Yap. Big, burly guy from one of the outer islands. Out there they wear just a wrap around their waist. Men and women, that's all they wear, is a wrap around their waist. And their family was living in a village next to ours. And Wences, when I first got there, I started preaching. His wife came to church and said, told Wences, "This is where I'm going to church. I'm not going anywhere else to church now." They were actually from an assembly background, Pentecostal background. She came to church and said, "I've heard this preacher. I am not going anywhere else to church now." He hadn't come yet. He came got right with God, got saved, whatever the case would be there. And he just started being my, he was my right-hand man on Wednesdays was. Everywhere, he was just there. And I really was looking forward. We talked about, he wanted me to come with him out to across the outer islands, and we would have an evangelistic team, he and I. We would evangelize all these little islands out there and on the ship. And we had a lot of plans. And then one day his dad called, radioed in from the outer island, said, "I want you to come back home. We need you here." And in those places, when dad says, "Come back to the island," you come back to the island. That's the way it is. And so he packed up his family and got on the ship. That was with much regret. I wasn't done teaching him yet. I gave him all the sermons I could come up with and printed them off. Gave him all the Bible study materials I could come up with and books and whatever. Packed him up in a box and put him on the ship and sent him back to Fife. About a couple hundred miles away on a ship. He got over there and I'd get letters from me now and again. Having a Bible study at so-and-so's house. He lists all the people we have. And a Bible study on Tuesday night at so-and-so's house. And I thought he would just, I could just kind of envision Wences looking up on the hill. Is the stick still up there? I can keep going. I know he's still there. We sent him Bibles. We sent him things off and on. And I can imagine it's just like he's just looking across the thousands and thousands of miles of ocean and say, "Mike Shell's still in the ministry? Still an encouragement to me. I still see this. Still see the stick up there. I think I can keep going on." Folks, I don't know how you are with the Lord tonight. I trust you know him. I trust you have a desire to follow him. You're here in church tonight in the missions conference. Obviously, you're a step above most folks. But have you ever been willing to say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm just," and he might say, "Lord, I'm just a stick. I can't do much. I can't." And God just says, "Let me at you. Just let me use you." Yeah, but I'm not sure. Just let me use you. If I want to throw you down, I'll throw you down. If I want to lift you over the water, I'll lift you over the water. I'll hold you over my head. Hold just whatever I want you to do, just do it. I'll use you. And our goal then would be to say, "Lord, just use me. I know what I am. If I think I'm really something, maybe I'll think, oh, I'm too good to be used like that. I'm a little bit too polished for that kind of thing. I can't. Oh, come on. We're just a stick." Tonight, I think about Esther. We all know that little phrase, "No doubt there comes the kingdom for such a time as this." No doubt, Esther. Esther was there. You might say she was a stick. "I'm just a stick. I can't save my people. I'm just the queen. I can't even go to the king. Unless he calls me, I'm just..." Mordecai says, "You got to go." No doubt, that's why you're here. You know, God has placed us in this world, in our location, where we work with people, no doubt for such a time as this. And we just say, "Lord, here I am. I'm my stick in this spot. Just use me. Whatever you want me to do. Show your power. That's what I want you to do. I want people to see God. They want to see me." The tendency is like, "Hey, look at me. Look what I've done. Kind of hard sometimes. You know, missionaries, I want to share the blessings of God in our ministry without saying, "Hey, you see what I've done." It's not about that. It's to say, "Lord, thank you for letting me be your stick. Thank you. There's a stick. There are lots of sticks out here in the woods that nobody uses them, but this, God used a stick. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for picking me up. Thank you for using me to do your work. And we'll just be used of God. Let God use us. We'll be amazed. And people will be amazed what we can do." And they'll say, "Man, that guy did that." There's a older man. He's older than I am. He was in Faith Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. I preached a conference there. And had the invitation. He and his wife just came barreling down the aisle and prayed. And at the end, he said, "We believe God wants us to come out to Mike Mission and help you." And I usually say, "God bless you. We'll see how God works things out." Because they were different kind of people. And my sister came up afterward and said, "Do you know that guy?" Like, "No. He's dyslexic. He's weird. He's really can't even read. So I was like, "Wow. You know where that guy is tonight? Jack Peeler." I said, "Jack, just look for things to do. Let God use you in some small task. How's he going to go off right his deputation? I mean, he can barely read. He's not a pastor. I said, "Brother Jack, he's a hands-on helper missionary." I said, "Go find you some missionary to help, short term, and then get some experience and get to, He did that. He started. He became so much on demand. He was all over the place. Got his support. He's now off on a little remote island in the Pacific, helping a national guy start a church. The most unlikely stick I've ever known. And yet, there he is, out there with his wife, out in the jungle in the South Pacific, helping nationals plant a church in Nicor. Hey, Jack, and God can use Jack. He would say the same thing. If God can use Jack, God can use you. Let's ask God to use us. We're just a twig. We're just a little piece of stick, but God can use us if we'll let him.